appreciate the ladies singing tonight and letting me sing with them a little bit. And I'm glad that you're here in the service. Appreciate the good choir number. And those young folks, all the choirs that have sung and the specials I've enjoyed. And I want to thank you again for allowing us to be here and be in the service. Good to see Brother Brown here tonight. And some Brother Hart here, and some other folks that I've known that I know and don't get to see very often, and good to see you in the service. I'm gonna preach a little while and sit down, and then we'll get to hear some more singing and Brother Brown. But I want you to look with me in the book of Ruth, if you will, please. I sometimes like to call it the Gospel according to Ruth, and we'll spend a few moments in the book of Ruth. I have gone back and restudied the book of Ruth a little bit, and if the Lord will let me, I may deal with some things later in the week. But I'm interested in just a few verses in the book of Ruth. I'm going to take it somewhat for granted that you are somewhat familiar with the book of Ruth. I will just remind you that Elimelech and Naomi left Bethlehem, Judah, went down to Moab to sojourn, spent some time there, and they did not intend to stay. But after 10 years, Elimelech died. His sons, Mahlon and Chilion, took them wives of the women of Moab. And then the Bible said Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. So what you have left is three widows. You have Naomi, and you have Orpah, and you have Ruth. And the Bible tells us in Ruth chapter 1 and verse 6, "Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread." Then we'll go on a little further and we will find that Orpah leaves and goes back to her gods, the Bible said. But Ruth accompanies Naomi to Bethlehem. And the Bible tells us in verse 19, "So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass that when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, 'Is this Naomi?' And she said unto them, 'Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?' So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest." Let's pray a moment. Father, we love you tonight because you first loved us. We're thankful to be assembled with the saints. We're thankful for the singing. Lord, I pray now you'd help in the preaching in the next few moments, that you'd get glory unto yourself, that you would encourage the hearts of believers, and that you'd draw sinners to Calvary. I pray for your help in that anointing of the Holy Spirit, and I ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach a little while tonight on the God of emptiness. I'm interested in this statement that is made by Naomi when she comes back after being out of the will of God. In verse 21, she said, "I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty." The Lord hath brought me home again empty. Now, I may take a little bit different viewpoint of Naomi than some do. I do know this. I do know that Elimelech is the head of the house. I do know that in Israel, when the father or the husband dies, then the eldest son becomes the head of the house. And so some have blamed Naomi on the fact that they left Bethlehem, Judah. I don't know. I wouldn't argue with that, but I do know this. I know that once Elimelech was dead, and Mahlon was dead, and Chilion was dead, Naomi headed back for Bethlehem. That would imply to me that it was never her idea to leave in the first place. She may have been following her husband, she may have been then under the authority of her sons, but she does return back to Bethlehem. But when she comes back, she has the testimony, "I went out full, and the Lord
Lord hath brought me home again empty. I'm interested in that testimony tonight because I find many of God's people sometimes feel just like Naomi felt. They feel as though their life is empty. They feel as though God, not only has He abandoned them, but they feel as though He has turned against them. And sometimes we can't understand what God is doing in our life, and the testimony that we give about Him is just not a very good testimony. I'm interested in the testimony tonight that Ruth or that Naomi gives us about the Lord. In fact, I'm interested in three testimonies tonight. I want you to notice, first of all, the testimony of a wandering saint. That will be Naomi. Then I want you to notice the testimony of a witnessing or of a working Savior. That'll be the testimony of the Holy Ghost. And then I want you to notice the testimony of a witnessing stranger. The wandering saint, the working Savior, and the witnessing stranger. First of all, I want you to notice the testimony of a wandering saint. I want you to see what Naomi has to say about the Lord. And she says three things about Him dealing with this emptiness. The first thing she says in verse number 20, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me." Now she calls Him the Almighty. That's an important name for God. It has to do with the power that God possesses. And you and I could rejoice tonight when we talk about the power of God. We could rejoice and say, "I'm glad that God has all power and that Jesus had all powers given to me in heaven and earth." We could rejoice in that unless we felt like Naomi, that all that power had been turned against us. I talk to people sometimes, they say, "Well, why did this happen in my life? And why did that happen in my life?" And they feel as though somehow God has turned His power against them. And He's, really what she's saying is He's abusing me. She says, "He has dealt bitterly with me." I don't know exactly what she's talking about there. It may be the fact that she is empty. She's mentioned that. She has no land. She's lost her land. She's lost her inheritance. She's lost all of her physical possessions by getting out of the will of God. And she blames that upon the Lord. She said, "The Almighty hath dealt bitterly with me." By the way, that word bitterly is the same word that's used in Exodus when the Bible said that Pharaoh made the children of Israel's lives bitter with hard bondage. And what Naomi is saying is, "God is treating me like Egypt treated Israel." That's her opinion of it. I'm not saying she's right. I'm just saying that's her opinion and that's her testimony. Then I want you to notice the second thing she says in this testimony. She says that the Lord hath testified against me. See it in verse 21. "Why call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me?" How did the Lord testify against Naomi? Well, I think maybe two ways. I think she may be talking about her countenance. Because when she left, she was Naomi, the pleasant one. But when she returns and they look at her, they say, "Is this Naomi?" You see, 10 years out of the will of God will leave a mark on you. You may not know it. You may not recognize it. But others that know you will recognize it. I remember one time Abraham Lincoln, I'm hesitant to mention him in this part of the country, but Abraham Lincoln said one time a man had come in and they asked him about the man and he said, "I don't like his face." And they said to him, "Mr. Lincoln, a man is not responsible for his face." He said, "Every man over 40 is responsible for his face." See, how you live will leave a mark on your countenance. And when Naomi comes back, they look at her and they say, "This can't be Naomi." 10 years out of the will of God has left its mark upon Naomi's life. But not only that, I think He testified her against her because of Ruth. Because when Naomi comes back to Bethlehem, she has in tow a Moabite girl. That Moabite is her daughter-in-law. And so Naomi will have to confess that while she was out of the will of God, her sons got out of the will of God and took to them Moabite wives. You better keep it in mind, Mom and Dad. You get out of the will of God and you may come back, but your children may never get right. Those boys never intended to come back out of Moab. That's why they took Moabite girls for their wives. And so Naomi will have to explain where this daughter-in-law came from. You go back and read a little bit in chapter 1, and we don't have time to look at it, but you look at it later on and see how hard Naomi tried to talk Ruth out of coming back. And so she comes and she says, the Almighty have dealt bitterly with me. Everything I owned is gone. The Lord hath testified against me, my countenance and my daughter-in-law. And then she says this, the Almighty hath afflicted me. Now the word afflicted is an interesting word when you're dealing with the Jews and the Hebrews. Because in Isaiah chapter 53, talking about the Lord Jesus, the Bible said we did esteem Him smitten and afflicted of God. That word afflicted is not just an ordinary word. It doesn't just mean that He was hurt or that He was set upon. But the word afflicted in the mind of a Jew meant that someone was under special judgment of God. They said it about Jesus because He went to the cross leaving no seed. They counted that an affliction of God, the Jews did. And when Naomi says, I'm afflicted of the Lord, she's talking about her husband. In the mind of every Jew, if a woman's husband died and her sons died and there was no one to take care of her, there could only be one reason. There was sin in her life and God had afflicted her. That's the way the Jews thought. And so I can see Naomi come back and all the Jews of Bethlehem are gathered around and everybody wants to know one thing. Where is Elimelech? Where is your husband? And Naomi said, it's true. My husband's dead. She said, the Almighty hath afflicted me. It's not a very good testimony. She said, the Almighty hath dealt bitterly with me. The Lord hath testified against me. The Almighty hath afflicted me. She says, God has brought me home empty. It's not a very good testimony, but the truth of the matter is, sometimes God's people feel that way. We feel as though God has taken from us something. We feel as though God has turned against us. We feel as though, like the psalmist said, like Job said, he said, oh, that I knew where I might find Him. And like the psalmist said, how long, Lord, how long? Sometimes the people of God get to feeling that way in the time of trouble, in the time of difficulty. And so Naomi gives her testimony. It's not a good testimony, but it's what she thinks in her heart. But you know what happens? In the very next verse in our text, it's as though the Holy Ghost raises His hand and said, all right, Naomi, you've told what you can see in this matter. You've given us your viewpoint. We have heard your testimony. Now, I would like to give you the testimony of God. It's as though the Holy Ghost says, hold on just a minute, Naomi. You haven't told the whole story. You don't know the beginning from the ending. And I want you to see what's really going on in your life. You said you went out full and came home empty. But the truth of the matter is you went out empty and you've come home full. And the Holy Ghost is going to witness to us and give us the testimony of how God is working in Naomi's life even though she cannot see it. You say, where has He knew it? Look in verse 22. Here's the first thing the Holy Ghost says. So, Naomi returned. I believe He's making reference to her last complaint that Elimelech is dead, that God has afflicted her. Yep. Naomi, your husband is dead. Yes, Naomi, you have followed the coffin down to the graveyard. Yes, Naomi, you've had that broken heart over your husband and your sons. But wait a minute, Naomi, look where you are. You're not in Moab anymore. You're not down there in Moab. You're not living there. You're back in Bethlehem. You know what happened? God freed her to return to the place where she could be in the will of God. And I would say this to you, not necessarily in reference to husbands and wives, but I would say to you, there is a principle here that oftentimes we get mad at God and upset with God and disappointed with God because He has removed things that we don't think we can live without. And the truth of the matter is, that thing that you didn't think you could live without was the very thing that was keeping you out of the will of God. I was preaching over in a church in Florida. I remember the pastor's name. Brother Avery Long is the pastor, or was at that time. And I was preaching, and I did not say this, but after the service, I was standing in the back, and a young man walked up to me, and he said, it's all right for you, preacher. All right for you to say, quit your job and go to preaching. Well, I never said that while I was preaching. But somebody said that to him while I was preaching, and I think I know who it was. And so he said, that's all right for you to say, quit your job and go to preaching. Here's a young man, been through 4 years of Bible college. And he had surrendered to preach many years ago, but he wasn't preaching. And he said this to me. He said, I have five little children and I drive semi-truck 3 days a week. And he said, I make $50,000 a year. And he said, if I quit my job and go to preaching, he said, I'll probably only make $25,000 a year. I hated to tell him if he quit his job, went to preaching, it'd be a long time before he made $25,000 a year. I hated to tell him that. But he said, what he was saying was, I can't get along without my job. I can't raise my family without my job. But the truth of the matter is, the best thing that could ever happen to him was to get out of that job and get to doing what God called him to do. His children needed him in the will of God more than they needed that $50,000 a year. I'm saying to you, there's sometimes God will remove things from your life that are holding you back from being where God wants you to be. And God had done that in Naomi's life. Not only she returned, she was back in Moab, back in Bethlehem, but then listen to what it says, her daughter-in-law with her. You know what the Holy Ghost is doing? He is addressing all of her grievances. Yes, Naomi, you've suffered a loss, but you're back in Bethlehem. Yes, Naomi, you brought Ruth, the Moabitess, with you, and you've had to explain her. But wait a minute now, this is chapter 1. In chapter 1, Ruth is a problem. But what about chapter 4? When Naomi is seated on the... I picture her out on the front porch. She's seated on the front porch, rocking little baby Obed in her arms. And all the women of Israel are gathered around her Bethlehem. You know what they're singing? They're singing, a son is born unto Naomi. They don't say unto Ruth. They say unto Naomi, a son is born. You see, I'm not a grandpa yet. I was in the airport the other day getting ready to fly somewhere to preach. And there's a little old girl and she had one of them little suitcases on wheels, you know. And she was going up and down the aisle, and she ran over my feet several times while she going up that aisle, and I was just sitting there smiling at her, and her mama looked over and she kind of reprimanded her for running over my feet, and I said, no, I said, that's all right. She said, you must be a grandpa. I'm not a grandpa yet. The Lord willing, I may be one day. I know I've been around some grandmas. I saw a grandma one day. She had a sweatshirt on. It said on it, Grandma's my name and spoiling's my game. Amen. I was with a preacher the other day and he said, it's an unusual thing has happened at our house. He said, I came in the kitchen and one of the grand boys had mama's roaster pan out on the floor, and he had a little wooden spoon and he was sitting in the roaster pan rowing it like he was in a boat. And he said, my wife was yelling, where's the camera? Where's the camera? She said, if it had been her kid, she'd have been yelling, where's the switch? But something happens to you between children and grandchildren. So Naomi now in chapter 1 doesn't want Ruth around. She's tried to talk around. But I wonder how she felt about Ruth in chapter 4 when she's got that little baby rocking in her. I believe she had a change of heart by chapter 4. Here's what I find out. I find out not only sometimes does God remove things from your life that you think you can't live without, but sometimes God adds things into your life that you would never have asked for and really didn't think you wanted. But God knew that in the end He could use them for your good and His glory, and so He adds them into your life, and don't get upset with Him about it. Let Him testify to you about why it's there. There's a third thing. She said, the Almighty hath dealt bitterly with me. They testified against me and afflicted me. Now, here's the last thing, the Holy Ghost. In the last part of the verse, the Holy Ghost addresses her first grievance. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. Notice this now. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Boy, there's some preaching in that barley harvest. You know what's just happened at the beginning of barley harvest? They've just had the Passover. They've just slain the lamb. And now they've just finished the first fruits. They've gone out into the field and they've cut down some sheaves of barley and they've come out and they've waved it before the Lord. I'm trying to remember who it was I was reading. He talked about waving that first fruits wave before the Lord. And here's what he said. He said when they waved that first fruits, they were saying there's more in the field to come. And that which is in the field is just like this. And he said Christ is now risen That's what Paul said. And become the first fruits of them which slept. When Christ rose from the dead, we can say there's more in the grave to come. And when they come, they're going to be just like Him. That's what John said. And so that first fruits pictures resurrection. It pictures a new beginning. That's when Naomi comes back. Right? You say, what a coincidence that Naomi would come back and barley harvest. No, there's no coincidence here. This is the hand of God moving in Naomi's life. And if she comes back after the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, she will starve to death. But God had established the law of the gleaner, and so she comes back just in time to glean. I'm just saying to you, God has this all under control, and the Holy Ghost is saying to her, Naomi, you've got this thing all wrong. You've looked at it all backwards. I am working in your life, and you're not empty. You're full right now because my hand is active in your life. I'm trying to say to you tonight, if that's the way you feel as though God has wronged you, you feel as though God has turned against you, I want to remind you that God never makes an error, that God never makes a mistake. I want you to know that sometimes you can't see what God is up to, but there is an unseen hand, amen, that hand of God that is working in our life. There is the testimony of a working Savior. Let me give you one more testimony and I'll be done. There's the testimony of the wandering saint. The testimony of the working Savior. But there is also in this passage, and we read it, the testimony of a witnessing stranger. You know, Naomi gets up and goes back to Bethlehem. But why does she do that? If you go back to verse number 6, here's what the Bible says. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. Why? For she had heard in the country of Moab, how that the Lord had visited His people in giving them bread. I don't know who said this to her. I picture it in my mind like this. I picture this fella coming through Moab. He's hurrying because he don't want to spend any more time there than he has to. He's headed for Bethlehem. That's where he's from. And he comes by a little inn and he goes in and says, I may need a place to stay. Do you have a place? And the fellow said, well, we can find you a place. He said, where are you from? He said, I'm from Bethlehem. He said, oh, Bethlehem. Why, we've got a woman up the road here that lived in Bethlehem. She'd been here about 10 years and she's really fallen on hard times. She came here and her husband died and her son-in-law's died and her sons died and there's three of them down there. In fact, we just buried the two boys and her name is Naomi and she's got these two Moabite daughters-in-law and they're living down the road and I'm telling you, they've had it rough. They've had it hard. I hear that fella say, Naomi, huh? Naomi, and she's from Bethlehem. Yeah. I see him walk down that lane, come to that little house where they're living, knock on the door. Naomi comes to the door and he said, now, are you Naomi? She said, yes, sir. She's still wearing the grave clothes, the black, and they had the funerals. And he said, and you're from Bethlehem? She said, yes, sir. He said, what are you doing down here in Moab? She said, well, there was a famine in Bethlehem. And my husband didn't think we could survive. And so he packed us up and brought us down here to Moab. That fellow looked at her and said, oh, there's no famine in Bethlehem now. No, no, no. Everybody in Bethlehem's got everything they need. Oh, in Bethlehem, it's wonderful. Did you ever think about this testimony? He said really four things to her. He said, first of all, he mentioned the God. I call Him the God of preeminent glory. He's down in Moab, but he's talking about the Lord who's Lord in Israel and in Bethlehem, and He's still Lord in Moab even though they don't know it. And he said, the Lord, that capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Jehovah, that Lord is still Lord, and He's a God of persistent grace. He has visited them, and He's a God of peculiar people. He visited His people, and He's a God that presents gifts when He comes. He brought them bread. That's a pretty good testimony. He said God is still God back in Bethlehem. He still has a group of people He calls His own, and He still visits them, and when He comes He brings them a gift. He brings them bread, and when He gets done talking about how good it is in Bethlehem, Naomi turns to those girls and says, pack the suitcases. We're not staying here another minute. We're going back to Bethlehem. am where I belong. I'm thankful for a witnessing stranger. You know what I'd like to be for God? I'd like to be that witnessing stranger that goes up and down the country and said, hey, it's good down the house of God. It's good living for Jesus. It's good being in the ministry. It's good being a servant. I'd like to find me some Naomi's that are out of the will of God and say, hey, why don't you just get up from where you are and go back and serve Him. It's good to serve the Lord. I was reading a fellow today, and these two fellas in the ministry, they got on a train. They'd been involved in some mission work. And the one fellow sat down next to the other fellow. He said, how'd it go? He said, I'm telling you, seemed like a wasted day. What about you? He said, same thing here. He said, seemed like there's something I could have done that would have had more value than what I accomplished today. And the other fellow said, you know, I'm a little discouraged. What about we just quit? What about we just quit and go in another line of work? And the other fellow thought about it and he said, well, the problem with that is we'll have to change bosses. We'll have to change your master if we do that. And the first fellow said, I believe we'll just keep on what we're doing. I don't think we could find a master better than the master that we have. I'm just saying to your friend, hey, it'd be good if Sunday morning after the Sunday morning service when you're sitting down at the restaurant and the waitress goes by and lost people are sitting all around you. Instead of sitting around the table saying, man, the preacher was long-winded today, or the music was loud today, or the choir sang that same song they sang last week. It'd be good if you look at one another and say, hallelujah, wasn't it good to be in church today? Wasn't it good to hear the preacher? Didn't God help us today? Aren't we glad to be Christians and be in the work of God? If we had a few more witnessing strangers, we might see a few more Naomis come back to Bethlehem. I'm glad God's at work even when you can't tell. So why don't you just go ahead and praise Him and tell Him how good He is and lift up His name and remind yourself and everybody around you how good it is to live in Bethlehem and serve the Lord God of Israel. Let's bow our heads a moment.